Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. Well, by my count, we've devoted at least four or five shows over the last few years to the difficult issue of transgender athletes and how complicated this topic is when it comes to finding a fair and reasonable solution for all involved. Now, look, I know that some sports shows are just beginning to either discover this issue or perhaps they aren't aware that this has been a concern for some time. But regardless, taking a larger perspective, taking a step back, I do think it's safe to say that this controversy is not going to go away soon. And as such, as I mentioned in my tweets this week, the leaders of high school and of collegiate sports are really going to have to sit down and try and come up with some new solutions that are fair to all the athletes. Now, of course, the latest headline in this ongoing controversy is the case of senior swimmer at the University of Pennsylvania, Leah Thomas, who over the last few weeks has set all sorts of records in her swim meets. She's been so good and so dominant that if she continues with her accomplishments in the pool, she's on her way to becoming named as an All-American in NCAA swimming. The debate, of course, focused on the fact that as recently as just 2 years ago, Leah Thomas, then a male, was on the men's team at Penn and competing as a male. And by all accounts, he was a pretty good swimmer. And under a long-standing NCAA rule, she followed the medical rules and the policy about changing one's gender, and in order to compete, she had to sit out a full year while she underwent a systemic routine of drugs that suppressed her body from generating testosterone, while, of course, undergoing sex change surgery. But once she had completed all these requirements, Leah Thomas was then cleared to compete as a woman in NCAA swim meets. Now, detractors have claimed that the NCAA policy is both either outdated or short-sighted, that because Thomas had really already matured through the key developmental years as a teenager, that Thomas's body fully benefited from all the traditional male growth effects. That is, he's big, he's strong, has built up strong muscles to support his male athletic body. He's now, I believe, 22 or 23 years old. Critics point out that just because he has transitioned to being a woman in college does not necessarily negate his physical size and muscle strength. And as such, he has now become a real force in women's swimming. Okay, that's the basis of this current debate. And just to remind you of the other transgender cases we've covered in depth on the Sports Edge, let's not forget the ongoing debate where some states said that high school athletes can compete in sports depending on which gender they currently identify with. Other states in the country insist that high school athletes can only compete according to the gender they were born with. That meant, for example, that a high school wrestler who was born female but then transitioned to being a boy was forced to compete against girls in Texas high school wrestling matches. Mac Beggs, that's the boy's name, won the Texas State Girls Championship 2 years in a row competing as a boy. On the other side, Two male high school track stars recently in Connecticut decided that they wanted to transition to becoming girls. While they hadn't started any surgery to transition to becoming female, they were allowed to run in high school state meets because they identified with being female. And quite frankly, they dominated in their track events. This was met with a federal lawsuit by a few natural-born females who had to compete against these individuals, these two boys who were transitioning to girls. The natural-born females felt this wasn't fair, that it was a violation of Title IX. Well, that case was actually came to court and was dismissed by a judge because the judge ruled that the girls, that all the girls involved in the case had all graduated from school and there was no longer any real concern. Well, that's sort of like dodging the issue, to be sure. And in New Jersey, a few months ago, a bill was introduced and is being considered that would ban transgender athletes from competing in high school sports. In fact, more than 30 states have either passed or are considering such laws. Now, again, that's at the high school level. Today's topic is talking about college. Okay, a quick history lesson. For those of you, old enough to remember this quite well, some of you who are younger listeners may not, but it's worth just going back to get a sense of whatever the precedents are when it comes to transgender athletes. Back in the mid-1970s, a top tennis player who graduated from Horace Mann High School here in New York City and from Yale, named Richard Raskin. In fact, he was the captain of the Yale tennis team and considered a top national player. Well, he decided to transition from being a man to woman when he was in his 30s. Raskin became known as Rene Richards, and at 6'1" and being left-handed, she was also one of the elite female tennis players. But under the rules of the day, she was not allowed to compete in the U.S. Open. So Dr. Richards, as she, in the interim after graduating from Yale, she graduated from medical school. In any event, she sued, and she ultimately won the right to compete in major pro tennis tournaments. Now, critics at that time argued that Richards had the advantage of having gone through her adolescence as a male, very similar to what people are saying now about Leah Thomas, the swimmer at Penn. And, Rene Richards, or Richard Raskin, had grown to be more than 6 feet tall, had the muscular core strength that males have through adolescence, and so on, which gave her a substantial advantage over natural-born females. And truth is, Rene Richards did have some success when she was allowed to play on the pro tennis circuit. But she has also been quoted in recent years that looking back, if she had transitioned when she was in her early 20s, she feels she would have dominated on the women's pro tennis circuit. Okay, so now we have Leah Thomas out of Penn, where there are a lot of parallels, and there's really a difference to what Rene Richards had gone through. So what do we do? I mean, I've given this a lot of thought, and I'm sure you have as well. And by the way, friends, I am eager to get your thoughts, comments, and proposed compromises or solutions at 877-337-6666. I want to know what you think we should do here. I mean, are we at a point now where we have to sort of figure out what the next step is? I mean, I do have a possible compromise, which I'll share with you shortly. It's not a perfect solution. It's a compromise. And with all compromises, it's not going to make everybody happy. But again, I think we have to come to grips with the reality that transgender athletes, they're not going away. Maybe 25, 30 years ago, these were a rarity. But nowadays, they've become, I don't want to say commonplace, because according to the stats I've seen, less than 1% of the American population identifies as being transgender. But that's still a lot of people. But the point is, this issue of transgender athletes is not going to go away. And I'm curious to get your thoughts as well. 877-337-6666. Again, it may have been a rare occurrence to encounter a transgender athlete 25 or 30 years ago, but now it clearly seems to become much more mainstream as athletes begin to consider whether they want to basically transition to the other gender. This is curious stuff. It's sensitive stuff. I urge you when your calls this morning to be sensitive to the fact that this is a life-changing event for these young athletes. Clearly, they give a lot of thought. Their concerns obviously go beyond just just playing sports, but clearly it has an impact if they are serious athletes and they want to continue to compete either at the high school or, in this case, at the collegiate level. And there have been other cases about transgender athletes at the collegiate level. We'll talk about that as well. But again, this is something that I want to discuss with you this morning and give you my thoughts as to what perhaps we have to do. You may think it's a bad idea, you may think it's wrong, you may think it's not equitable, but again, we have to do, at least in my opinion, to do what we can to recognize all the athletes and to figure out a way to make this work. Okay, let me take a time out. When I come back, I'll go right to your calls. Stay with me. We're debating this morning what to do, if anything, about the transgender swimmer at the University of Pennsylvania named Leah Thomas and whether it's fair to all her competitors, because as a woman, she's become a record-breaking force in the pool. And we're looking for a solution or a way to make her presence equitable to all concerned. You know, in researching the show this morning, I remember a few years ago, there was a situation in Massachusetts where boys, high school boys, were allowed to compete on the girls' swim teams in the fall because there were no boys' swim teams during that time of the year. As you might remember, it was most curious when a few of the swimmers, the male swimmers, began to set state swim records and were named champions when they were swimming against girls. It was also in Massachusetts where boys are allowed to compete and play on traditionally all-girls field hockey teams because there are no field hockey squads for boys. Under Title IX, the boys were allowed to play on the girls' teams. But again, in both those situations, whether it's field hockey or the swimming, there was no transitioning from one gender to another. And then about several years ago, there was a highly recruited female swimmer who attended Harvard who decided to transition to a male while in college. She went through the year of medical and surgical treatment, and when he came out for the men's team a year later, well, he made the team, but he wasn't much of a competitive factor as he had been on the Harvard women's team. All right, so this is getting complicated. Here's what I will at least suggest, put on the table, and we can debate this as you see fit. I think either you put an asterisk to any competitor who happens to be transgender and let them compete according to their sex, their gender, or you actually add a unique or new special category for transgender athletes. Yeah, I mean, you're basically still acknowledging their success if they're a swimmer or some other sport, but you have to be fair and equitable to all the other competitors who are not transgender, who still want to compete against this individual. I think it's only fair to acknowledge the success of the other athletes who are natural born according to their gender. Or do you let, you know, transgenders compete in their own category? Just like we have a Special Olympics or we have Paralympics. I guess you could do that if there are enough transgender athletes to make for a suitable field of competitors. I don't know if this is the way to go, but I do know this, that we're going to continue to have these situations crop up. Again, there was that lawsuit in Connecticut, which the judge basically said, well, let's just pass on this. Maybe we'll revisit this issue of transgender athletes down the road. But again, and we have each state now debating this, what they should do. As I said, many states in the nation are saying, no, high school athletes have to compete according to the sex they were assigned when they were born. This is getting complicated. And I will tell you, I was, again, doing my research. I found a column in Swimming World magazine, and I'm quoting here, quote, many sports governing bodies, including USA Swimming, have struggled to determine how best to allow trans males the opportunity to compete. And while USA Swimming has made a conscious and much needed effort to prioritize inclusion in recent years, trans female participation remains a controversial issue with many strong opinions on all sides and little consensus about what is justified. And it goes on to write, and I'm quoting again, it's worth noting that Thomas, from her time on the men's team, was a six-time finalist at the Ivy League Championships, including three runner-up performances at the 2019 meet. In other words, when Thomas was a male and competing, he was pretty good. Now that he's a female, he's dominant. All right, let's talk about this, because I'm looking for ideas, solutions. I don't know if my solution or compromise is the way to go or not. I'm curious. You have some thoughts as well. And we'll take your calls, of course, at 877-337-6666. Let's start this morning with Dr. Rob Fried. Rob, good morning. This is a complicated subject, to be sure.
Yes, what are your thoughts? Yes, it is, Rick. And I was really, I didn't know how to call in on this, but me and Jack were talking about it, and I heard it on the morning show. They were talking about this this topic, and I'll go right into it. You know, first, I do remember, I'm old enough to remember Renee Richards in tennis going way back, and different kind of an athlete. She wasn't as a top tennis player, but was, you know, a good, when she transitioned over, was a pretty good female tennis player. Mm-hmm. And I do remember her. And this is why we need a commissioner, at least in state by state, where you've been, you know, going after all along. My thoughts are as follows, okay? Number one, and to be realistic about it, you're born, this is a genetic thing internally. Someone doesn't decide to do this because they want to compete at a certain level. I mean, if they do, then I don't know even how to discuss that part. But if someone is born in the wrong body, they believe they're really one sex, but they come out that other way at birth, this is something they have to internally live with till they come to terms and grips with it, and they make the change, if in fact they do make the change, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There still might be people out there that are in denial, or they don't really know, and they just make the change when they feel, or they don't make the change. But we're talking about these cases where people do make the change. My feeling is as follows. It is what it is, and if, you know, if they feel they're born a certain way, that's fine and dandy. But when it comes to sports and this type of issues we're talking about here, transition till the athlete, number one, you can't have like it both ways. If you're going to compete at one gender, you have to have made the full transition like Thomas has, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, I wasn't aware that she was a top male swimmer in an Ivy League situation at a Division I college, but now completely dominant. At the high school level, it's a little different because a lot of times these people have not made the full transition. So here's my point. They should not be allowed to participate in the sex they want to participate in till they've made the full transition. And you brought that out, I think, in your monologue. So that's right off the bat. If you think you're one way, you can't participate in the way you want to participate till it's completely done. Second of all, on this particular situation, I feel bad. These are individual sports, and it's more common, Rick, obviously, where the problems are going to arise when it's the male that transitions to the female side, because they are born stronger. They still have the testosterone in them because that's what they have. Even though they're taking female hormones to shut them down, the muscle types are still there. The size, this woman's a very tall woman.
Yep.
And in the sport of swimming, you know, it could be an inch that can win a title, and someone could lose out because of that. So I think the problem here is it really fair? And what I'm saying is, I do think it's fair once the athlete has made the full transition. And it's a shame because, and I could see where the other athletes might feel, oh, I'm getting cheated out of a spot, maybe to make the Olympics. Now, these are individual sports. I don't know how it would happen or what the consequences or whatever would be on a team sport, but individual sports, this is really what we're talking about.
Well,
here,
let me before we get to the discussion about team sports, let's talk about the individual, because that's what's happening here primarily.
Right.
You make a very basic point, and you know, I think this is something that we all have to accept, and that is that the way the human species is basically designed and put together, the male, and obviously I'm using generalizations here, but the male is usually bigger, stronger, and faster, if you will, than the female. And as you go through your adolescent years, when you go through your growth spurt as a male, that's where you're going to put on the extra inches of height and of strength, as you mentioned, and so on and so forth. So when you get to be in your 20s and you transition, like Leah Thomas did or Renee Richards did, you know, you still have that basic DNA structure you went through when you were a male. Okay, now, you are on the other side of the coin. You're now a female, and you've worked your tail off, let's say, as a swimmer, to get to the point where you are so good, you are going to compete at the Division I level in the Ivy League, and you think you have a shot of perhaps becoming, you know, an Ivy League champion, or, you know, doing really, really well as a swimmer. And, you know, now all of a sudden you look over in the pool, and you're looking at this Leah Thomas, who obviously was, up until a couple of years ago, a male, and you have to compete against her, even though she's clearly physically stronger and bigger than perhaps you are. At the end of the race, if you lose to her, you know, Leah Thomas has a faster time, and Leah Thomas has gone through all the protocol with the NCAA, and NCAA has said, yes, you're good to go to compete. Is that fair to that girl, that woman, who had to compete against them? And that's the problem. How do we figure out a way to say, okay, how do we distinguish this? Now, Rod, let me ask you this, because I know you have a long, distinguished history as a runner. In the world of running, what happens with transgender athletes and running?
Well, I was just going to touch on that. The New York Road Runners, okay, and I compete. I run for Central Park Track Club, so I'm always in the city, and it's an elite track club. And basically, what they have in the city road runner races, they've just, I think it's this year, they developed a new category for awards, because we compete in for awards in the different age groups, and mm-hmm. and it's, they mean a lot to us, and they actually have developed a special category now for this particular type of topic we're talking about, where the person's either in transition, or they don't identify either as a female or a male. Now, it's a very, very, Rick, you mentioned less than 1% of the population is this, okay?
Yes.
Or this is what the issue is with the changing of the sex. But it's a very, very small. I looked at some of the races. There's maybe 10 competitors in this category out of maybe 8, 9, 10,000 runners in a typical New York Road Runners race. So I don't know if that's really going to be feasible on this level, but I think what we have to do is, it's got to be uniform, and I'll just leave it with this. My thought is, till the athlete has completely transitioned, then it would totally be unfair to the other athletes if they're going to be competing against them. But at that point, if they're fully transitioned,
so
it is what it is.
So from your perspective, I don't want to, you know, say, you know, put words in your mouth. As far as you're concerned, Leah Thomas, she's done all the protocol, she followed all the policies. Yes, she is.
It might not be fair for the athletes who were born a certain way, because of the built-in bone structure that she will have for the rest of her life.
Yep.
And the muscles are they've been built all these years having the testosterone. It just doesn't turn to fat overnight.
Look, she's a great athlete. Is that we all can agree upon
that? It's interesting, because I wasn't aware how talented this is. Not a walk-on who said, oh, you know, I'm going to now, you know, try to make it on the female, you know, because Division I, but it's not a scholarship school. So they're, you know, these academic, these Ivy Leagues.
Yeah,
walk-ons, if she did just walk on and say, now I'm a female and I'm going to compete. I mean, I'm a male now.
I go back to the case staying within the Ivy League. A few years ago, there was a top female swimmer, highly recruited, named Skylar Baylor, who went to Harvard and competed on the women's swim team her first year and did very well. And then she decided to transition and became a male. And then she made the men's team a couple of years later, but she wasn't anywhere as close to having the kind of success as a male swimmer as she had as a female. So these are the facts. Here's my question to you. And again, not to put you on the spot, but do we have, like you said, with the road runners, do we have a separate category for these individuals to compete in, even though because very few of them? Do we do a, you know, for lack of a better term, an asterisk next to their name when they we see their numbers on the the swim meet? Do we do that? Do we have a? I mean, how do, what do we do?
Joe, just Rick, to make a separate category. When I'm talking about road runner races, you're talking that there are 10,000 runners in a race, let's say. In New York City Marathon, 50,000, 60,000. So you really, and it's still such a small number. So I don't really, this woman or this young.
Or, maybe the case is that because there are so few of these individuals still, that we just, the fact that people are going to know about Leah Thomas and know of the controversy. Yeah, so Leah Thomas wins. You know, she won this race. She ran this, 500-meter freestyle. She wins, but the fact is her presence is going to transcend any concern to have to put in her in a special category or an asterisk, because people in swim know that, she transitioned to being a female after a pretty good career as a male. So maybe you just let it go with that. Like Renee Richards, to this day, is still known, for her tennis exploits. And she did very well on the pro women's circuit. But again, she didn't really get into doing that until, I guess, her late 30s, early 40s. But again, she's still known to this day for what as being a pioneer when it comes to transgender. Rob, let me.
You got it, Rick. Always a fascinating show with you.
Interesting stuff, to be sure. Thank you very much. Let's go to our next call. Let's go over to Ralph in Manhattan. Hey, Ralph. Good morning. You're on the fan.
You know, the asterisk that you speak about, Rick, may indeed be the remedy, because you're talking about a lot of toes being stepped on both sides of the issue. And if you do that, you make a distinction between categories that cannot be disputed by anybody. I think that's very relevant to what we're talking about right now, because, you know, there are rumblings behind the scenes, teammates and such. They're not really on board with this whole thing, as they say in public. If they were interviewing these young athletes that are teammates of the swimmer and so on and so forth, they'll say one thing, but behind the scenes, Rick, sometimes they say something far different. And I think that many people feel that if they actually give their true feelings, they're going to pay for it in the long run.
Well, so you have to. Yeah, Ralph, that's a real good point. I spend a decent amount of time looking for reactions from teammates, and there's not much out there. And obviously, as you said, most of Leah's teammates are going to be quiet about this because they know it's a very sensitive, and in most cases, they're supportive, certainly, of making sure that she's happy. But, you know, as I said before, and this gets down to the sort of the quick of it, and that is, if you've worked hard all your life to become a swimmer, and you're a female, and you were born that way, you might feel a little differently about having to find yourself competing against somebody who just a couple of years ago was a very successful male swimmer. And that's hard.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Right, and you may be well justified. I'm just putting myself, without any prejudice, I'm trying to put myself in that situation. And you know that testosterone isn't the end-all, be-all. It's about structure. It's about, you know, this development by Leah Thomas, you know, you can't deny that. She was fully developed when she made that transition. And, you know, there's something to be said about that, whether you do it earlier or later on. That's also another factor. But here's the thing. If you steer away from the antiquated aspect and it doesn't become political, and you look at the bare bones of the matter, so to speak, you really can make a real decision on each and every individual, not judging with that broad brush. You kind of got to make that distinction as to whom you're dealing with in that particular time. Leah Thomas may be justified in being able to swim where she's swimming right now, where another athlete may not be so much. And you have to be able to pick and choose between the two, I think.
Yeah, it is complicated. And right now, and again, there's a distinction to be drawn between what's happening at the high school level, And I mentioned earlier that a number of states in the nation are now trying to line up behind this. And I don't want to get involved in the politics of this because, unfortunately, it gets involved into political positions. But for the most part, most of the states are now lining up to say, well, you have to compete at the high school level in sports with the sex you were assigned when you were born. This, I think, is a retaliation to what happened in Connecticut, where a couple of boys in high school who had not started any gender transition decided to compete in track and field and basically dominated because they were very good as males. But basically, Connecticut allowed them to do that. And then some girls who felt cheated out of not being able a chance to win gold or silver medals against these boys and track meets in Connecticut, they sued. And as I mentioned earlier, it got to federal court, and the judge sort of said, since everybody's graduated, this whole situation is now moot. I don't want to get involved in giving a case. We'll decide down the road if this happens again. That's why the states are now saying, no, you have to compete according to the sex you were born with. It's complicated stuff. The college level, the NCAA has this 10-year-old rule about how you have to go through it. Ralph, I don't know how this is going to work out, but you can see that this could happen in other sports as well. It could, as Rob Fried had mentioned, might happen in team sports too. But I could see this happening certainly in golf. We mentioned, of course, tennis with Renee Richards. It could happen in almost any sport where basically the male has, if they transition after they're fully developed, is going to have sort of an inherent advantage over the females just because of how they've grown and of their bone structure and the size and testosterone. Anyhow,
Ralph, well, very few issues make people angrier than this one.
Yeah,
and the thing is, these antiquated views of this topic, where that's what you have to watch out for. This is a real issue. I mean, it's a very small percentage of folks that are actually transitioning, but nevertheless, it's more prominent than ever before, and therefore we got to deal with it. And people don't know how to deal with it. I think I can guarantee you're not getting as many calls today as you would usually get because this is a very touchy issue.
Well, I think that's part of it, and it is a controversial issue, and I don't think it's going to go away. I think we're going to see more and more transgender athletes in the years to come. And at some point, this is going to have to be grappled with. Simple as that. Ralph, let me take a break. Thanks again for your call. Appreciate your comments. We're talking this morning about the situation about this swimmer at the University of Pennsylvania who was really, really good as a male swimmer in college, then decided to transition to female, and now she's become dominant in Ivy League meets and is en route to becoming perhaps an All-American. Question is, do we put her in a special category for transgenders? Is that the fair and equitable thing to not only her, but all the other women she's competing against? Do we put her in a special category, like Paralympics, something like that? I'm curious to get your thoughts and comments. Or we just let it go? Do we just let it go because there's so few of these so far that we just have to understand that this sometimes happens? 877-337-6666. We'll take a break for some commercial messages. When I come back, we'll go right back to your calls. Stay with me. Just a quick reminder, friends, of course, you can always contact me at askcoachwolf.com. Lots of resources on my website as well, and you can always hear the podcast of the show if you happen to miss one, and you can follow me on Twitter at hashtag AskCoachWolf. We're talking right now this morning about this very perplexing case of this swimmer at the University of Pennsylvania, Leah Thomas, who has become a dominant swimmer in her meets. A couple of years ago, she was a male at Penn on the men's team, did very, very well on the men's team as well. But now, after going through a year of surgery and medical treatment, she has been cleared and completed all the protocols, all the requirements that the NCAA has when it comes to transitioning athletes. And she's been, making her presence known as a female swimmer. The question we're presented today, this morning, is do we make a special category, for transgender athletes? Is that too harsh? Do we do an asterisk for these athletes? Now, remember, Title IX And I've been quoted many, many times on the show saying this. I'm sure you feel the same way. Title IX was a breakthrough back in 1972 to guarantee equitable conditions and have a fair level playing field for boys and girls, men and women, when it came to sports. So we all accept Title IX. It's great. It's terrific. But now we have a situation. I don't know if people who put up Title IX ever thought maybe there should be a special clause or special stipulation for transgender athletes. But now this is what we're dealing with here. Do we just let this happen and let it go as it is and assume that people know that if you are going to become a transgender athlete in college, as long as you follow the rules that the NCAA has, then that's fine. That's the way it goes. No need for any special category. No need for an asterisk. Just let it go. It's as simple as that. And the question is that I posed this morning is that fair? Is that the way it should be? Again, as we've heard this morning from the callers, very, very complicated, very complex, very emotional issue. And I'm taking your calls at 877-337-6666. I'm curious to hear what Jack Smithlin has to say on this subject. Jack, good morning. You're on the fan.
How are you, Rick?
Good, Jack.
You know, as you discussed before, you've talked about this topic many, many times. And here's the situation. A lot of people talk about it, you know, every once in a while a case pops up. But every once in a while when a case pops up, it affects hundreds and thousands of athletes. You know, this one swimmer is affecting every single swimmer in the female categories, you know, in the Ivy League. She's breaking Ivy League records, and, you know, and that's not fair to those wrestlers. Now, what would not be fair to her is to not allow her to swim. So, you know, you talked about the topic, and so did Rob Fried, about, you know, I don't think an asterisk is really the way to go. I mm-hmm. think a special category. I think that the way we established our Special Olympics programs, I believe back in the 80s, I don't know if that's the exact date, I think there should be a special category for, you know, transgender athletes. But here's what I'm curious about. Is the NCAA following the Olympic protocol? Are they working with the Olympic committee on this? Because it's going to be a rude awakening to transgender athletes when they break all these records at the NCAA level, and now they come to the Olympics and they're not allowed to swim or compete. You know, in high school and in college, track and field, swimming, cross country, your qualifications for the next level, the next category, be it the states and then the nationals or whatever the case may be, is not on whether you win or lose. It's on your times.
Mm-hmm.
So are new times going to be established because of her record breaking? I mean, that's going to be crazy, you know?
Jack, I don't know, quite frankly, about the IOC. You know, they have been plagued for decades with questions
right.
about, you know, men and women and qualifications and their gender and so on and so forth. That's extraordinarily complicated. And so I just don't know. And I don't know if Leah Thomas is going to be good enough to even be considered to make an Olympic team. But again, you would think there'd be some sort of uniform consensus here that would comprise not just the NCAA, but also high schools and everything else, to get a sense of like, okay, here's what we think we should do. Maybe you just said there should be a unique special category for transgender athletes.
You know, one of the things that Rob said at the beginning, and this is something I'm going to mention.
Yep.
As we all know, I'm coaching at the college level right now, and I have one of my players who is a unique, beautiful person. This kid is just a great kid, great sense of humor. She's in a class right now. I don't know what class it is. I don't know what the title of the class is. But she's doing a project, and her project is all women must feel comfortable in their bodies. And you know what? I'm going to get into it a little bit with her because I think it's a beautiful topic. I think all people should be comfortable in their bodies. I told you this before. I have a cousin that was an excellent female goalkeeper up in the Boston area on lacrosse. And she was recruited by every school, you know, every Division I school in the area. And she was probably one of the top in the state. And she transitioned, I believe, from her sophomore year to her junior year, and she went out for the boys' lacrosse team.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly, she beat out the number one goalkeeper, and she was blackballed.
Yeah.
You know, and he was blackballed, okay? She went from female to male. Now, you know, that transition, everybody says, you know, oh, that's a comfortable one, because when a female goes to a male, she's not as strong, she's not as powerful, like we've all talked about, and, you know, she's choosing to do that. And, you know, my cousin, who transitioned from a female to a male, did not feel comfortable in her body.
Yeah.
He was, you know, a male in her idea, in her thoughts. So she did it, and she probably thought, you know, she was going to have a tough time going over to the boys' lacrosse team. And she beat out the number one goalie, and they blackballed him. So,
yeah.
You know what? It's a tough, tough situation. It's a very, very tough topic, because you're not going to please everybody. You're not going to please. I have a question. Maybe you know this answer. Is there an asterisk next to Barry Bonds' home runs?
No.
Yeah, no, there
nor,
is not. Okay?
Nor to, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, the asterisk thing, I think, is just, you know, it's silly. I mean, you know, even they wanted to put one next to Roger Maris's because he played in, you know, a few extra games. That's ridiculous, you know. But listen, it's going to be tough to please everybody here, and not everybody's going to be pleased, but, you know, talking about one person popping up every once in a while, every time that one person pops up, it affects thousands of athletes.
I think that's the concern, Jack. And I threw out the, and I mentioned, you know, at the start of the show that I'm looking for a solution, and it's going to probably end up being a compromise. And to your point, you're not going to make everybody happy. Now, the asterisk is just something I threw out there as a on a whim, but the question is always going to come down to, if somebody is a transgender athlete and they become dominant in their new persona in their sport, you know, people are going to be aware of this. And I don't even know, as I said earlier, that you have to make a special case or a special exception for them, because people are going to be aware of Leah Thomas. I mean, that's simple as that. Or they know about Renee Richards or a few others. It may just stay the way it is. We may see more transgender athletes, but it may just stay the way it is right now. Simple as that. Jack, thank you. Let me take some more calls. I appreciate your thoughts as always. Let's go to Poughkeepsie, where Shirley is standing by. Shirley, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning. I want to just preface it real quickly by saying that I was involved in the women's movement in the early 70s.
Okay.
A big fight for equality in women's sports.
Yes.
And I also lived in San Francisco most of my life. Actually, I'm native Californian. And I had a couple friends who were in that period, were transgender.
Mm-hmm.
It was very difficult back in those days. I had one in particular close friend, and she had a lot of... She went from male to female, and she was 6 feet tall, and she had to constantly take drugs and would still get a beard. And, I mean, she had a really hard life. So I'm glad now, at least, that people can transition easier. That said, no way should somebody who's transitioned compete in the sport of the person of the sex they went into. That's ridiculous. I mean, like, yeah, this example of the swimmer.
Yeah.
Is a good one. And I think Jack made some excellent points, your last caller.
Yeah.
My question is this. We're a democracy. As Jack pointed out, you're not going to please everybody. That's part of living in a democracy. Why should everybody else bend over backwards and all this for a few, very few, transgender athletes? I mean, why? Why do we have to? I mean, yeah, compete in a separate column or whatever, but why are we even talking about it? I mean, they shouldn't be competing. It's ridiculous.
Well, because we live in a time, and Shirley, thank you for your thoughts and the history there. We live in a time where we do believe that we live in a democracy, and we do want to have a situation where people are allowed to pursue their dreams and do so in a positive kind of atmosphere. And I mean, the NCAA has a rule in the books, been there for at least a decade, and they say, look, if you do this, 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 and this, and you get all the medical clearance, and you go through testosterone suppression, and you go through your surgery, yeah, you sit a year doing that, you're allowed to come back and compete. And that's what Leah Thomas did, and, I mean, that's hard to get around. she's basically followed all the rules. And so, I think we have to sort of, at the end of the day, sort of accept the fact that's how it's going to be. It may change, you know, next year or 10 years from now. It's as simple as that. But right now, this is how it is. And again, I threw out some suggestions, some compromises, some alternate ways to consider all this, but I think what we're going to do is just keep it the way it is, because I think when we do have a transgender athlete who becomes so dominant in their sport, I think the general sporting public are going to be aware that he or she is doing that, and then that serves in effect as a so-called quote-unquote asterisk. It's as simple as that. Is it fair? I don't know. That's for somebody else to consider at a higher level. But for right now, this is where we are. It's as simple as that. Okay. My thanks to the great callers this morning. As always, really good insights, really good debate. And, of course, my thanks to Ed R. Zuman. I will see you next Sunday right here on The Sports Edge.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.